All right, we're going to take a break from some of the season previews to do one of my favorite pods of the year, the Mock Rookie Extension Podcast with our old friends, Danny LaRue and Dan Feldman. We're sponsored today by Blue Apron. You can get 3 free meals to start off with at blueapron.com/capspace. And also the Naked 3D Fitness Tracker, the world's first home body scanner, naked.fit/capspace is the URL there. And we might even have a sponsor to be named later because we could go long on this as we often do. Gentlemen, please say hello simultaneously so we can't tell who you are.
Hello.
You're too slow, Danny. Come on.
No, I was going to wait. As somebody who leads into 3-person podcasts awkwardly, I decided to let you talk first.
It's a tradition, and I'm sad that it has been ruined. If I had just not said anything, I think we would have been fine, because then there would have been the awkward pause while you each waited for the other person to go, and then you both would have decided, well, I guess he's not going to go, and then you would have both gone at the same time. But oh well.
I'm a traditionalist also. Danny's just too progressive for us.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get started here. We got a little background to do first, because in going through this is the 2013 draft. And what we have to consider, though, of course, is what the cap landscape is going to look like. The current official league estimate is $102 million. That, of course, subject to change due to potential CBA negotiations. There was also a report from Darren Revell the other day on Twitter that someone, at least a source that he's aware of, expects that revenues in the NBA could be as much as $8 billion next year, which could push the cap further up towards 107, again, depending on whether the rules change, whether the players get a larger percentage of revenue or not, or they just decide to calculate the cap differently, whatever it is. So we could be looking at a lot of different scenarios, but for now, we'll assume that 102 is the number. That means that for all these players who were drafted in the first round, they will have 4 years of experience, therefore falling into the 0 to 6 years experience level. Their max to start is $24 million, and then a 5-year contract with the maximum 7.5% annual raises would be a 5-year $138 million deal. There's also a 4-year 7.5% annual raises you could get when re-signing with your prior team. That's $106.8 million. That's what CJ McCollum was projected to have. And then just for reference, the most you could get if you signed with another team, which you can't do now, but just that's sort of the downside here. They sign a max with another team. That would be a 4-year $102.6 million pact. So I guess let's start with Anthony Bennett. He's still around, right? He was the number one pick.
That's not going to get truncated, is it? That was a very effective silence.
Yeah, and by the way, Dan is the GM for the East teams and Danny is the GM for the West team. So that was Dan's, Dan gets credit for that silence there. And obviously also another thing to remember too, is that players who had the rookie option decline, Anthony Bennett, Solomon Hill, Sergei Karasev in this group, they are now not restricted free agents any longer and are, of course, not part of this discussion.
Wait, Solomon Hill got his option declined?
All right, let's start with Victor Oladipo and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Danny, you just traded for me. I'm playing the player agent, of course, if you haven't listened to one of these before. What are you thinking about? What are you willing to offer me in an extension, and what are some of the factors you're thinking about here?
So we're in a complicated situation. You know that we are thrilled that we were able to renegotiate and extend Russell Westbrook, our one and only true franchise player, and Oklahoma City proud. And so what that means is that we actually have a little bit less space in 2017 than we were originally, that was a possibility, but that we're happy to have him back. So what that means is we have about $10 million in space, even if you count for all the cap holds for you, Steven Adams, and Robertson. However, if we use all of that cap space, we are going to probably go into the luxury tax. Now, we are willing to do that for the right team, and who knows if we're going to have all of our players together. So these are all concerns, and your cap hold is pretty high, $13 million, and also you are just joining the team, so we have to figure out exactly where you fit into our process. We do want to have you long term, but figuring out a margin between that and your maximum, which according to the current cap is about $24 million, is going to be hard, because we do want to bring you back, but finding a place that works for both sides is going to be complicated.
Yeah, Zach Lowe reported that I was looking for the max, and I am looking for the max, And I think that I can probably get it from someone else. Just they're always difficult to find 3-and-D wings. I'm going to be coming into my prime. And I really took a step forward at the end of last year. You invested a lot of resources in me. I know you're not going to let me get away. And do you really think if I get to restricted free agency, I'm not going to just get the max?
You very well could. But giving that to you now is not really productive for us because we also lose that cap space immediately. And that is the maximum amount we can give you. So while we think that we think a lot of you right now, that is giving all of the risk on us and none to you. And
well, so you're not even making an offer?
Is no, that no. What we were thinking as a starting point is starting at 4 years and then have it 4 year salary because you can't go for that fifth year unless we're going max, which we're not going to do. And we were thinking of starting at a starting salary of $16 million and then working with max raises from there.
So what does that work out to in total?
That would be about $71 million.
Yeah. So basically Luol Deng money is what we're talking about here. Yeah, I think I'm probably going to be a little bit better than him considering how much younger I am. And, Evan Turner money we're talking about here. I think I might be a little bit better than Evan Turner and certainly have a lot more upside. So I think that I would be willing to go somewhere along the lines of 4 years, $80 million, but I'd have to get a player option on that last year, somewhere along the lines of what Jonas Valanciunas and Michael Gilchrist did. I'm going to be 25. And so that'll enable me to get back onto the market at 28 instead of 29. That's actually a pretty big difference in terms of that. And I'm also protected with total life-changing money. And, we could do it also structured in such a way where I would start at the lowest possible salary. So I actually wouldn't be that much worse off than my cap hold in that way. And of course, I would want to get a trade bonus too there for taking this haircut of maybe about $20 million. $26 million of the life of the contract.
What would it take for you to not have the player option? Like, so we're saying 4 years, $80 million. Would 4 years, 85 be enough, or would you need a substantial increase?
No, I think for my client, he wants to be able to realize that some of his upsides. So we probably have to go to $90 million, I think, to not have the player option.
So 4 years, $90 million, with all the years being guaranteed, isn't really workable for us. But 4 years, $80 million, we think that you'll have a positive enough experience here that we can work with that. And as you mentioned, that would be close enough to your cap hold that even though we wouldn't be sacrificing that much. And so we didn't expect for you to be willing to come down to that point considering your restricted market, but we'd be willing to accept that.
All right. Sign it up. 4 years, $80 million, 3+1 and maximum trade bonus. What do you think of that, Eastern Conference ombudsman?
I think it's a pretty solid deal all around. Oladipo, I think, would get more as a restricted free agent, but you don't necessarily want to take that chance when this is real life-changing money. And I think it's good value for the Thunder.
Yeah, I think so too. And maybe I have a lower view of Oladipo in my mind. I mean, he hasn't really had, he's had maybe 1 year of even like starter quality play. He's not like, it's not like he had that year last year at age 22. He was an older rookie when he came in. So he's basically coming into his prime starting this year. This could be his one chance at getting a contract. I actually don't think the fit's going to be that great in Oklahoma City with between he and Westbrook. They kind of do the same things. Neither of them is a great shooter, and there's not going to be a lot of space on the floor for that team. So I think it's quite possible, actually, that he could disappoint. And I think just locking that in for a guy who has not been necessarily close to, has never been in the playoffs before, I think that's good. It may be that he wouldn't take that. So what would that starting salary be for the first year? How much cap space is Oklahoma City costing itself?
So the starting salary for that would be a little bit under $18 million. So they'd be sacrificing about $5 million.
Yeah, that seems like a totally fair deal to me. I think I would actually do that too if I were Oklahoma City. But I think just based on that report that he wants the max. Granted, that could just be a negotiating strategy to start with. All right, before we move on, I want to talk to you about Blue Apron. Danny, what did you make for Blue Apron this week?
I made a really good bolognese pasta dish with chicken in it. And then also had chicken tenders with a great summer vegetable salad.
Yeah, I saw that pasta, actually. I'm leaving for Europe this week, so I did not. I cut off my ordering, but I'm jealous of that one. That actually looked like it was going to be fantastic. And for those who don't know, Blue Apron is basically a fresh ingredients delivery service. They only give you exactly what you need for each recipe, so there's no food waste. And it allows you to make meals that, at least if you're the quality cook that I am, you never would have dreamed of making at home. The recipes are extremely extremely easy to follow. They never repeat over an entire year, and the ingredients, I think, are fresher than you're going to get at most, if not all, supermarkets. So the way to get started with them, blueapron.com/capspace. You can get your first 3 meals free at blueapron.com/capspace. Easy to remember. We're, of course, talking about that all the time on this show and on various other shows on the Dunktown podcast. blueapron.com/capspace is that URL to get started with them. All right, who do we have next here?
Otto Porter.
This one is going to be an interesting one. What are you thinking here, Washington?
Well, we're probably not going to have cap space next summer. We like you. What we're not saying out loud is we don't love you. We don't know exactly what to make of you. We thought you'd have a breakout year this year. Didn't really happen. We're willing to pay based on what you've done, but there is a little bit of a leeriness to paying you now when we're just not really sure what to make of you. We'd like to evaluate you another year, but for the right money, we'd do it. So back to what we would be saying out loud is we like you and we want to keep you as part of the core. We were thinking 4 years, $40 million, similar to what Amon Shumpert got.
I can't believe you just insulted me with that offer. All right, you want to give me a real offer so that I don't just like pout this entire year and ask for a trade?
Well, who's going to trade for you? I mean, we're willing to go a little higher. What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, my cap hold is 14.7 million. Granted, not looking like there's going to be much space. The Wizards had used Bradley Beal's small cap hold last year and then increased his salary. So there, I have there likely about 12 million over the cap, even with Porter's cap hold. So the cap hold doesn't matter as much. But I mean, if you look at like Luol Deng is a comparable player for what I can be. I shot 40% on threes the second half of the year. Pretty good rim protector, a help defender for a small forward. Great length, a guy who's a good passer and cutter. I think that you know, I'm at the very least a starting quality player. I've been starting for you last year. I'm going to start for you this year. Like the absolute baseline, even if I were just never going to improve from right now, would be like 16.5 million a year. And considering how young I am too, I think that, and how well I shot on threes last year, 3-and-D guys are not easy to find. I think it's got to start at 17.5 million. It would be probably the lowest that I would accept. Maybe I might go a little less if you want to throw a player option on.
We could do let's say probably about 4 years, 56 with the player option.
And you're still, if you're not even getting to 15 million a year, I mean, like, look at what just like Luol Deng is going to be 35 years old.
Well, yeah, but the Lakers screwed that up. You can't let that be the example. We're the competently run Wizards.
But hey, there are plenty of people who are going to screw up in restricted free agency next year too. I mean, look at the wing market for next year. There is really nothing out there. There's Danilo Gallinari, Gordon Hayward, Andre Iguodala is 33, Rudy Gay. I mean, there's really nobody who fits into my 3-and-D skill set at all, especially not one who's as young as I am. I mean, I'd see myself getting over 20 million a year in restricted free agency. I mean, am I any worse than like Harrison Barnes?
All right, how about 460 with a player option?
You know, I was hopeful that actually we could come to an agreement because you don't have the concern of the cap hold and trying to use cap space next year, but that's not going to get it done.
Is that close?
I mean, I think really, you know, you would have to go 17 million a year with the player option.
How about we do 17 million per year, but you take a dip in 2018 because we might have some cap space that year. We'd like to maximize it. So you'd start at the normal threshold for that. You'd go down in 2018 and then back up.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jason Smith is clearly going to opt out. So, yeah, you should have plenty of cap room in that year. All right. So what is that in total then?
So that'll be a total of 68 million. We'll start you off at 17. It'll dip the next year, go back up to 17, and then up to 18.3, and it'll come into an even 68 million.
All right. I think that's reasonable. I mean, if you look at Kent Bazemore, unrestricted free agent, 27, a guy like I could outperform that, but that's like legitimate starter money. And again, it's just so much that you just wonder what could happen. I could have a bad year. I mean, even when you look at last year, someone like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist got way less. I think granted we saw what the market is and that was a great contract for the Hornets. But I think once we're getting up to that level, I have to take that again. I think realistically, realistically, and what do you think, Danny, looking from the other conference here, do you think that that's something that he realistically would take, or is he going to be asking for more?
I think the issue isn't as much what he'll be asking for, because he can be a little bit more aggressive with that. But even though the Wizards are, you know, kind of capped out, there is an open question about how good Otto Porter is. Like, this isn't a situation like, let's say, for me, Oladipo, where Oladipo is still a little bit uncertain, but we know. But with Otto Porter, I don't think he's established a whole heck of a lot. So that would be a reasonable deal, but he could aim for the moon originally and kind of end up around there as a number.
Yeah, and that's the we got the fourth-year player option on that too, right?
Sure.
All right. Yeah, that's not bad. Okay. Who do we have next here?
Cody Zeller.
Yeah, this is another really interesting one. Kind of similar situation. The Hornets are pretty much capped out for next year. His cap hold is also pretty large. What's your opening offer, Charlotte?
We like what you bring. We think you've started to find yourself a little bit as a center, although we're worried that because you're a little bit thinner for a center, there are going to be some matchups where it's just going to be hard for you, and we need to have a rounded, well-developed team around you. So that does limit us a little bit, but we're willing to do 4 years, $60 million.
You know, that's not bad. Again, my cap hold is right around $13 million, and yeah, really no way for the Hornets to get space unless I just leave completely, or they could dump like Jeremy Lamb and Spencer Hawes maybe and get some space, but probably not going to happen there. Those guys, they'd have to give up resources to do that. You know, I see myself as a starting center in the league. I think I was the best center during the playoffs. Not a great rim protector, but also in the traditional sense, but good in the sense that I can move my feet and get into position. Excellent pick and roll defender. Runs the floor pretty well. You know, I'm very flattered by that offer. I think you could do one of two things. You'd either give me a player option on the last year, or we could go for $17 million a year.
So meet me in the middle at 4 years, 64 without the option.
All right, sold.
Wow, a lot more extensions getting done than I expected.
Yeah, I mean, I
get ready for that to change.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting draft class, right? There are these guys who aren't really necessarily like sort of on the cusp of being good starters, but like not quite there yet. And maybe they will be, but it's just kind of it's and maybe they'll be below average starters. I mean, Oladipo, maybe he'll be above average, but he's not even at that point yet. So
there are,
I mean,
also,
these guys,
there are also zero Rose Rule guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You mean guys who actually qualify for it?
Yeah. Zero guys who have a real shot at it unless Giannis wins MVP.
I was going to say Rudy Gobert is about to win MVP.
What do you think of that contract, Danny, as the ombudsman?
A fair contract, and one of those circumstances where it actually is benefited by Charlotte spending so much money this offseason, just because Zeller would get paid if he hit the market. It's just one of those guys who would, and Charlotte might as well do it because there isn't really much of an opportunity cost, and that's about probably where it would end up, you know, maybe get a little bit more than that, so no problem with it.
Yeah, I actually was surprised that he got that much. I probably wouldn't pay him that much. Actually, I would be, because I think, again, the center market, not really that great. He doesn't shoot threes. And so I think I would actually be willing to let him get out there on the restricted market and see what's there. Maybe try to cut a deal before he reaches restricted free agency next year. I mean, no opportunity cost, at least in terms of like using his low cap hold or anything. But I'm happy that I got that much. I think as Charlotte, I wouldn't have necessarily gone that high. But the Charlotte GM seems to like Cody Zeller more than I did, as he did when he drafted him number four overall. All right, who's next?
Alex Len. This one's hard. So yeah. Len's cap hold is $12 million. It was the fifth overall pick. And he has, you know, he's been okay as a member of the Suns, but he hasn't shown, and so now I'm getting into Suns mode. You haven't shown that you can be a starter yet. And that's the problem with giving you an extension right now is, yes, you do have this large cap hold, but committing years to you at this point is concerning. So where we want to start is actually with a shorter contract, because we think that you're only 23, you'll be 23 this whole season. So our initial offers, we were thinking 3 years, $23 million. And, you know, because then you get out on the market when you're just 26, and that could be really good for you.
Yeah, there's just no way that it's going to take something like that. I mean, and when you look at it, I think personally, I've got you over a barrel, because I've got a pretty high cap hold already at $12 million. Tyson Chandler is probably going to get traded. He's not the center of the future. This is a team that has a lot of Ryan McDonough could be under a little bit of pressure here as they're not making the playoffs. It's not going to look good for him to just let a guy like Alex Len go. go. You're not saving yourself any space. I mean, if you're not even going to just, if you're not going to just start an offer at my cap hold, and I probably even want more than that, but I mean, if you're not even going to do that, and the cap hold is that 12 million, if I'm not getting 12 million to start, I like, we're not, we have nothing even to discuss.
I see
myself as a starter. If, and maybe we'll take a little bit of a discount off of starter money due to injury risk and performance risk, but not much of one.
We'll have to see, because you do have potential, but if it takes 4 years and it hasn't come in, you were somebody who disappointed also to a degree in college, and there is the possibility, of course, that Tyson Chandler gets traded, but that isn't a certainty, and the opportunity hasn't been there to say, oh, well, if Tyson Chandler wasn't there, that you would definitively do it. It's not really a blocked situation at this point. So I agree with you, though, that if that's where you're drawing that line, I, as the Suns GM, cannot come to that offer at this point. It's just too risky for us, considering what we know right now.
I mean, don't you think I'm better than, like, Myers Leonard? Myers Leonard got 4 for $40, and that was in restricted free agency with no other leverage. Like, I mean, I've been starting for this team. I had some 30-point games late last year. I'm clearly part of the future. You have no other options at the position, I feel like. So, I mean, when you see, and Myers Leonard had a terrible year last year. So when you see someone get something like that, like, if you're, I mean, and even that, I think is way less than I should be getting. So I guess it's just a fundamental difference on, like, what the value is.
Myers Leonard is a complicated situation because his team didn't really have much cap space to work with. You're right that the Phoenix doesn't have a ton necessarily, but they do have some flexibility, and they had more certainty as to what Myers Leonard actually was, and their team was already locked in. They were a playoff team. They had been so successful last year, and they have an owner who's a billionaire and was willing to pay that for his team. So I think that's not really an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah, maybe not, but you know, that's kind of how these negotiations work. If you look at guys in the class last year, you know, I mean, that's basically paying me like a backup, and you know, I was a number 5 pick. I think I'm a starter. So yeah, I guess we're just gonna have to agree to disagree on this one. I mean, I would have taken like 13 million a year, 14 million a year. Now I'm just saying this as an aside, not as part of the negotiation. So all right, let's move on to Nerlens Noel, another really interesting one with the Sixers, who have more cap space than they know what to do with. Noel's cap hold 10.9 million. But also a bunch of other centers. And I got to say, I mean, to start things off, I'm not really sure how much I want to even get that into these discussions, because you already have two other players at my position. I think I'm a center. I don't want to play next to someone who can't shoot. But that said, what are your thoughts, Philly?
We're going to be very honest and open with you. We feel like we need to trade you or Jahlil Okafor, and we would rather trade Jahlil Okafor. But talking to teams around the league, it seems like you are much more valuable, and it's hard to get enough to justify trading him. And you know, maybe we can rely on Beat at center. We're starting to warm up to the ideas. Okafor long term is like the super sub who can just mash on backup big men, and his defensive problems won't be as bad. And Ben Simmons can play power forward, and Dario Saric can play some power forward. We'll have to figure out that one too. But we like you a lot. The problem is it doesn't seem like a great fit. We're going to try our best to make it work as long as you're here. And maybe it emerges where there's an Embiid trade or an Okafor trade. We definitely haven't shut the door on that. That said, we're only going to sign you to an extension if it's very obvious that it increases your trade value. We're not going to lock you up and try and scare away other teams if it's something that's too high for them and maybe causes some poison pill complications. So just up front, if I don't know whether that's appealing to you talk about a lower offer like that to get some security.
Well, what's some let's put some numbers on it. What's a lower offer? I mean, if you want to make me an offer, let's hear what it is.
4 years, 48 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be, he's thinking about probably 20 million a year. And part of the reason for that is there are no rim protectors among the unrestricted free agents next year. There's basically Andrew Bogut, who's going to be 33. And then there is Serge Ibaka, who's probably going to get a max contract.
And how old is he?
27 is his listed age. But fine, I mean, if you want to speculate that he's older and nobody's going to want him, great. That only and especially considering that you guys have not made the commitment to me, I think that they're going to, if I don't get traded, whoever trades for me is going to really want me, and they're going to pay me.
That's right.
And then if I don't get traded, teams are going to be lining up to give me an awesome offer in restricted free agency because they know you have a million centers and you're not going to want to pay me. So I think I feel really good about that. And, you know, I realize there's a little bit of injury risk with him. You know, he was supposedly red flagged by some teams in the draft process, had the torn ACL, missed his whole first year. But if that's still going to have to be, we're talking about taking a discount off of $20 million a year, basically. And also, like, Philly, you're not some big free agent destination. You're looking at $40 million in cap space, even with my cap hold. And that, and you could dump Gerald Henderson to get to $50 million. So, you know, you're just, if you want to let me go for nothing, I would try to just lock me up. I mean, what's the harm? You're not getting anybody else anyway next year.
Well, our bigger issue is we just don't want to scare off any potential trade partners. We look at this the exact same way as you. We hope you remain professional throughout all this. And, you know, if we trade you this offseason for a team that where you're a better fit, we absolutely expect them to give you a big extension in those numbers you mentioned. It just doesn't make enough sense for us.
All right. So that 44 for 48 is really the highest you'd be willing to go?
Well, if you want to be real, so we'll do 4 for 56. 4 for 48 was our opening. But we're nowhere near on this $20 million. We understand why it's not a good fit, and we're okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I might be willing to go down to like 18, 17 million a year at the most. But again, I mean, I think just with all those factors that I think are going to really increase my value. I'm a little leery of the injury stuff. I'm a little leery of playing. You know, it's possible that I could be the third center and not play it all this year too. But I mean, if you're not getting north of 15 million, then I mean, there's just nothing to talk about at this point. Ben McLemore, another person we may have nothing to talk about. Sacramento. I mean, are you willing to even make me an offer here? That, which is exactly how I would start that conversation.
Of course we're willing to make you an offer. We were thinking 3 years, $12 million is it gives you a spot on our team. We think that you can be a part of our future, and at that, we think that's fair money for you at this point.
I think McLemore actually is underrated in what he could potentially be. Like, he could be a Danny Green type of player, I think, in the right system.
You mean because they both can't dribble?
Well, that was part of the basis for the comparison, yes. But as a shooter, could still get a lot better. A good athlete, and you know, someone with a lot of athletic potential on defense as well. I mean, I realize that I'm worried about my playing time going down a lot this year, but I mean, if you're not even going to start, you know, I think that like the comparable, I mean, because remember, McLemore has like started a bunch of games these last couple of years, granted on not the greatest team. I mean, if you're not even going to get to like Jeremy Lamb money, and I think it would be more than that, you know, if you were getting to like or like Terrence Ross money, you know, if we're not talking about those type of numbers, then I don't think we have anything further to discuss here.
Yeah, if you're looking for $10 million a year, we don't have anything to discuss.
All right, who's next?
Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
This will be a rather interesting one as well. This is our third Eastern Conference team already that is very unlikely to have cap space next year. Now we're getting down to where the cap hold is smaller, so it might have been helpful, but again, unlikely to have space. So maybe there's a deal to be made here, but I'll tell you what, I mean, I would take like a $1 million a year discount off of the max, and that at least will give you a hard number in case the max goes up, because again, there are no 3-and-D guys out there in the league, and you know, I'm already one of the best 1-2 defenders in the NBA, and very projectable shooting stroke, gonna be age 24, so still room to get better. I think I'm gonna have an awesome year. I think that like very slightly below the max is what it's gonna take for me, but or if you want to offer me a player option, I might go a little bit lower.
We think you'd be worth an $18 million a year starting salary, and that would bring your total contract to about $80 million, just a little over. We'll do it 4 years straight, no player option. We want you to be around. We value your defense. And, you know, that's major money for a player who's not there yet as an outside shooter, who's been below average his whole career. As much as we like your defense, we would have need to see more offensively to get to that first number you mentioned, just $1 million below the max. But we do like you. We want to keep you. As you said, there's not going to be that cap space regardless. So what do you think about that? $18 million starting, more than $80 million total. This is your first real chance at this huge major money.
And all right, I'd knock maybe another million off. I get to like 4 years, $98 million, and maybe a little lower than that if you're willing to throw in the player option. You know, if you're willing to put in the player player option, I could go as low as 4 years, $93 million.
All right, well, why don't we compromise at a starting salary of $20 million straight, no option, max raises. So it'll be 4 years, $89 million. It's right in the middle of the ranges we're talking about. We've been on good terms all along. I feel like that's a very fair offer. And keep in mind, we are willing to pay the luxury tax for the right team, but we'd prefer not to. And once your salary's up in this range, we'll see how everything stacks up. But if we go too high, that's going to become even more of a concern. And that does give us pause from going higher.
You know, I really wanted to get to that $90 million number. If you could throw in a 15% trade bonus there, you know, I really like it in Detroit. I love that I get to play a ton of minutes and that you have absolutely nobody else at the two guard position who's any good. So I want to stay. If you can give me a 15% trade bonus, we got a deal at 4 for $89, no options.
7% trade kicker it is, and we can just meet in the middle on everything.
7% trade kicker. Oh man, you know, it's funny. I felt like in some of the other negotiations that the Pistons front office wasn't nearly as concerned with the squeezing every ounce out of this cap minutia. I don't know what's changed with this this Pistons front office. All right, just get me to the 90. Give me $90 million. That sounds really cool. And we got a deal.
And so then no trade kicker.
No trade kicker. Still, you're sorry. 7% trade kicker.
All right, 4 years, 90.
Because I'm getting maxed out on the open market. Do you agree if I just like have an okay year that I'm going to get the max? I think that's probably going to happen. This is basically just a reduction for like some injury risk.
Off the record, yeah. Especially if Oladipo's off the market, you are now the best shooting guard on the market. Off the record. On the record, okay, we'll do 490.
All right, let's do it. Danny, what do you think of that one?
That's good. I mean, I think all three of us, and actually, we talked about this before, Nate and I are higher on KCP than Feldman a little bit, but that's a fair number considering the position that all the teams are in.
Yeah, and they also really, I mean, if they don't have KCP, I mean, like they are going to keep him. They clearly would match any offer. So I think that's fair, and obviously like a huge payday for him, and you know, for $16 million less than the max, I think that's fine. That's a reasonable compromise considering you know, just injury or performance risk over the next year.
And something that I would argue if I were KCP's agent is the idea that it's definite that he would get a 3+1 like Gordon Hayward on the market, and that would be, while it would be less money because of the raises, probably less money because of the raises than a deal with the Pistons, getting a 3+1 considering how young he is would be a lot worse for them than a straight 4.
Yeah, that's a great point too. All right, the number 9 pick in 2013 was who? That actually, oh, it's Trey Burke, right?
Trey Burke
traded from the West to the East.
So backup point guard now in competition with Tomas Satoransky for those backup point guard minutes, although he might be needed on the wing. What kind of an offer are you willing to make, Washington? You're, again, as we noted with Otto Porter, not going to be in position to use cap space anytime
soon. And especially now that we've signed Otto Porter. The problem is we're not really sure whether you're any good. We got you because you can help us this year, and we're mostly inclined to wait and see, especially because we have Satoransky who maybe is going to become more equipped to handle the one as he develops into the NBA. We want to see how that plays out. We don't want to be stuck with a contract that's going to be a burden in any way. So we're definitely talking below your cap hold, which is about $8.5 million. We're not even going to approach that, so if that's a problem, you can cut us off right now. But we would do 3 years, $10 million.
Yeah, that's not enough, and certainly if we're going to be low here, I mean, Burke still was the number 9 pick, started for much of his time in Utah, was buried, but took some strides last year. So I think that it's, if not right at that cap hold, something along the lines, I mean, if you look at, because I think at the very least, I'm going to be a good backup point guard as Trey Burke. And so you look at what those guys got in free agency last year, you would have to at least kind of start around there at like the Ish Smith, DJ Augustin type of level. He actually has more scoring potential, I think, than either of those guys. So I mean, if you want to get a little bit of a discount, it's possible, but it would have to be the sort of thing like where it was a 2+1 type of arrangement.
Yeah, it sounds like we're not even in the same picture, because I don't think Trey Burke at minimum is a viable backup point guard. I think he's probably, or maybe it's even maybe a viable backup point guard, but he's just spent too much of his career as somebody who just couldn't shoot for a while. He's never been a good defender. I think for the Wizards, we just need to see a little bit more before we're willing to pay him anything like a backup point guard we can rely on.
Yeah, and what I won't tell you, but something that is not going to be great for Burke is lots of good point guards available on the market next year, even backup point guards, guys like Sean Livingston, Darren Williams, Patty Mills, Darren Collison, Sergio Rodriguez, Brendan Jennings, Grievous Vasquez. I mean, I don't know that Burke is looking like he's necessarily going to be better than any of those guys. So I think he just... There's not going to be enough money out there for him at this point where it's really worth it to get any kind of security that he's going to trust. You know, that $10 million is just not enough to where, I mean, you might as well just let it ride and see if you can have a good season and maybe even, you know, be a fringe starter that someone could bring in or a high-end backup. I think that he would probably want to see himself that way. So, yeah, it looks like no deal here. Number 10 pick.
CJ McCollum already agreed to his extension, so we move on to number 11.
Yeah, and one thing we should talk about with CJ, though, which could come into play with a couple of the guys later on is
we will get to it very quickly
is that he agreed to what is the projected max now, but it was a hard number rather than just saying it is the max, you know, the maximum applicable salary, which you can also put into the contract. So he at least has a hard number. If for some reason the max percentage for 0 to 6 years experience were to go up, which is something I've advocated for, probably won't happen, but it could, or if just simply the cap goes up enough that $106 million over 4 years looks like a lot less than the max by a couple million or so, the Blazers are saved there. So with the labor uncertainty as well, that's a tactic that maybe some of these other teams will use. Michael Carter Williams, number 11 with the Bucks. They just signed Matthew Dellavedova. I don't know if I even necessarily want to stay there now that you're looking to replace me. I was the rookie of the year. Still see myself as a starting quality player, but anything that you're willing to offer me, Bucks? I'm guessing we don't have a deal here, but you know, money has changed people's minds on occasion.
Well, this probably is not going to help your opinion of us, but can you just transfer me over to Giannis Antetokounmpo's agent? I'd like to talk to him first and get a clearer picture there before talking to you.
Ah, I see. Well, that makes sense, I guess, because they both have similar cap holds, and if they can work out a deal with Giannis, and they probably don't have cap space in 2017-18 if they cannot work out a deal with him. And if they do work it out with Giannis, basically what you're saying is then you're probably more likely to work it out with me also because you're not going to have space anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, let's do that. That's a great idea. Giannis Antetokounmpo's agent is now on the phone.
So Giannis is the agent. We've had a great relationship. Everything seems good on both ends. Giannis seems happy here. We're going to feature him even more next year. We believe in him. Here's our dilemma. What we would love to do in theory is give him a 5-year contract extension that is like McCollum's, that is for a set salary that is equal to the max, so we're a little protective because who knows what could happen in collective bargaining agreement negotiations. Who knows where the max could be? We don't want to end up in a Kevin Durant scenario where we're caught off guard. The problem is we can't give you 5 years unless it's the max, and we could specify it's 25%, but there could be a whole new cap calculation. Things could get fishy, so we're open to working together to try and find something. We love the idea of keeping you for 5 years with no options. Like we want you here, but we just wish there was a safer way to do it.
Yeah, I think you're just gonna have to give me the max. I don't really see a way out of it, frankly, because as you noted, you can't give me the 5 years otherwise, which I want. I'm gonna want a player option too, especially if you're gonna get to restricted free agency. And you could always give me the maximum qualifying offer, but that means my cap hold goes up to the max. So now you can't use any space anyway if you let me languish out there that long. You know, so I think I probably will. What I would like to do is sort of the Andre Drummond wink wink, get the ETO on the fifth year, and just will agree that it's going to be the max. Whatever the max is, I'm worth it. And I don't think you would ever say that I'm not worth it, even if it is 30% max. Like, I mean, I'm going to get that from somebody else in restricted free agency. So I think we need to just agree to the max, and I will wait to sign it. I won't bellyache that I didn't get the full max, extension now, and you'll give me a player option on the end. That's the only thing I think I would be willing to sign. I never get hurt. I'm incredibly young, and Milwaukee is not a huge free agent destination. You want to lock me up for that fifth year, you got it, or lock me up for the full 4 years too, even, because I could get a 3+1 on the market. That's what you're going to need to do.
What do you think about the 5 year, we'll give you the full max, we'll designate it at the 25%, and we just sign it now. That would be our number one option.
With no player option?
With no player option. And then you don't have to wait. There's no injury risk. You're locked in. And if the cap calculation goes up, you're going to get 25% of what could be a higher cap. We're exposing ourselves to that risk. We can't take the risk also of you opting out.
Well, let's look at some comparables here. Anthony Davis signed the same deal, basically, and he signed early, and he got that ETO on the fifth year. So that's what I want. That's what you're going to have to give me if you want me to sign. And that's just what it is. Like, I'm your franchise player. Make a commitment. Give me what I want. Keep me happy. Like, that's what the market has borne before. Like, that's what you got to give me. And otherwise, it's not going to look good for your fans. You're going into a new arena as well. Not having me sign is not going to look good. You just got to give me the full boat. I'm that good. The system artificially constrains max salaries. I'm incredibly young already. I'm the centerpiece of everything you're trying to do with this whole point Giannis thing. You're building your whole team around me. Just pay up.
So Anthony Davis was obviously a little different because it was not the year before the collective bargaining agreement was likely to change. So at least the Pelicans knew what they were getting into. They never took that level of risk that you're asking us to take.
What is that level of risk?
That the calculation of the salary cap changes, so that 25% of that the players get a higher share of BRI, so that 25% of the cap is a much higher number than what we're anticipating.
Well, it was still, that's exactly what Davis signed. I mean, it's still 25% of the cap. Like,
but they knew how the cap was calculated for that year. We don't know how the cap's going to be calculated.
I mean this is what you're going to tell your franchise player, so, that you can't give him the deal he wants because of this argument that a very, very well-respected agent can't understand.
So, we'll go back to what you said you'd do. I mean, our first choice is to sign you for 5 years and not have you take any injury risk, and we think that's a win-win. That is our first choice, and that offer is on the table. If not, we'll go back to what you said you would do, which is wait to sign it, and we can agree to the wink-wink. We'll give you 5 years with the player option next summer, and you can help our team be better, help us get some better players around you, and we can have some more cap flexibility, especially once you talk Greg Monroe into opting out. So we're fine going back to that. I mean, that's what you came to us with just a few minutes ago, and we can do that. We didn't want you to take this injury risk.
But I got to have the player option on the last year, and there's no risk because your word is your bond.
Yes, that is correct. We are going to do it. You can trust us. We do not do anything below board in Milwaukee
other than make these deals. So, yeah, because I'm doing you a favor by being willing to wait so that you can potentially use cap space next year with my low capital. That's giving you an extra $18 million or so in space, probably, to do that. So I think I'm willing to sign the 4+1 now, or I'm willing to sign it later for the 25% max. It's got to be the 4+1. You pick whether it's now or later.
Okay, then I guess it's later. So that's the only one where we overlap. We each had two ideas. That was the one common one. So we're very happy with that. We're glad you're going to come back next year. And we're very much looking forward to that.
All right. Should we go to Michael Carter Williams, this sweaty pond agent, desperately waiting to see what was going to happen?
Nah, with Giannis Antetokounmpo? Buck's already hung up.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't take something as low as his cap hold anyway. So, I guess we're done there. All right, what do you think of that whole thing, Danny?
A man gotta have a code. But yeah, I think that's where it's going to end up, because yeah, there is a little bit of a risk there in terms of doing the Drummond or Kawhi Leonard deal when the CBA is about to change. But realistically, that makes a lot of sense. And Giannis is going to, the risk of him signing a 3+1 is very real. So the point that Nate made about giving him a max qualifying offer, that's totally true. Like, they're going to have to use that space very, very differently and use it aggressively. But who knows?
One of my favorite products that we've ever had on the show is is the Naked 3D Body Scanner, the world's first home body scanner. The way it works is you step onto it, a scale rotates you around in a matter of about 20 seconds, and scanners embedded in a mirror in front of you take a 3D image of your entire body. What's the use of this? Well, it can tell you what your body fat is in an accurate way, which is huge. There are not that many systems out there that will do that. It can also let you know what the circumference is of various body parts in case you have some sort of an imbalance. You can see it and correct it. And perhaps most importantly, it'll create what's called a heat map, where it compares your scan with previous scans of yourself and determines whether you've gained muscle, lost fat, and shows you exactly where that's occurred. It's really hard to motivate a lot of times working out in those first 2-3 weeks because the naked eye isn't going to notice anything. The scale, you're going to fluctuate a lot just based on water weight, or if you're putting on muscle and losing fat, the scale's not going to tell you that. But this can catch differences that are not perceptible on a day-to-day basis just looking in the mirror, and that's really, really motivating. That kind of progress can be the difference with sticking with a fitness regimen, and it's something that you can keep for years and years. These scanners have always cost more than $10,000, really only available at certain health clubs that charge a ton to get scanned, but you can get yours now for only $699. Lock in that price, and when it comes out in the spring of 2017, you can be among the first to get yours. It's going to cost $1,000 then, but you lock in that price now, and you only have to put down a $95 deposit as well. You can find out more about the product and also let them know that you came from us by entering the URL naked.fit, FIT/capspace. Capspace is easy to remember. We talk about it all the time on the program. Naked.fit/capspace is the URL to let them know that you came from us and get started on really changing your fitness regimen by getting accurate measurements. Naked.fit/capspace is that URL. Steven Adams, Oklahoma City, number 12 pick in 2013. I mean, I think you're just, if you want to sign me now, you're just going to have to give me the max. Everyone's been talking about that. No rim protectors on the center market. I had an awesome playoffs. You already lost Kevin Durant, so you don't want to lose me too. You want to sign me to the max. So I will at least not do a player option, but I want the max.
So you want a 5-year deal at the full maximum?
Yes. 5 years, $138 million.
So we do really like you, of course. You're a huge part of our future. But signing that to you now, like that's an issue. You know, DeMarcus Cousins was a star player. He had produced at a superstar level at that point.
Yeah, he's also like, shall we say, not a good teammate. I am an awesome team.
Yeah, but he had produced in a way that you have not at this point. Our best lineups last year in the playoffs did not include you. You are a wonderful player. We intend for you to be a part of the future. But those 5-year full max contracts that we see given out, those are two players that have proven themselves franchise players. And even in, you want to talk about the new cap, we don't know exactly where this is going to go. That's a huge risk for us. What we were thinking was, because the idea of solidifying our future a little bit, we were thinking something more along the lines of, you may have heard what your new teammate Victor Oladipo got, which was 4 years, $80 million. We would love to have you for that full 4 years, but we understand that if you wanted to get a player option on that, we would not fight that too hard.
Well, so what's your offer then?
4 years, $80 million, but the fourth year is a player option.
Yeah, I mean, with the way people are talking, I mean, just recently a well-known columnist from the East Coast, who's actually now moving to the West Coast, Tim Bontemps, maybe you've heard of the Washington Post. He thinks that I'm going to get maxed out. And, you know, if an NBA observer of that quality thinks that that's what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. I mean, I would be willing to wait because I have the low cap hold and we could do the 5 years. And I also would be willing to do the CJ McCollum lock in for just what the projected max is now for the 5 years. I mean, our sort of wink wink deal can be for basically the 5 for $138. If it goes up, I'd still be willing to sign for the $138 next year. And you can use the low cap hold if you need to go after a Blake Griffin type in free agency.
Well, can we?
Yeah, what were you going to say, Dan?
Well, so this is the same problem I ran into with Giannis. If you can't go with the straight number and 5 years.
Right. No, I'm saying, but I'm going to wait.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. You're saying like we couldn't actually agree to do that now, right? Yeah, it would have to just be the actual.
No, we're not all the way at an understanding. We would love to do, how about we do that deal, but we make it, we've cut $2 million off a year just for a little bit of risk mitigation for ourselves. And in compensation for that, especially considering the uncertainty, we will give you a 10% trade bonus. So that would be 5 years, $128 million, I believe, with a 10% trade kick.
And are we doing it now, or do you want me to wait until
we would love it if you would wait.
All right, make it an even 5 for $130, and you got a deal.
Deal.
All right. Steven Adams, 5 for $130, but we're going to wait and see if Oklahoma City can use their cap holds. We are just, but Sam Presti's word is his bond, of course, as is Clay Bennett's. All right, Kelly Olynyk, this is an interesting one. I'm guessing that we're probably not going to find a lot of traction here just because the Celtics want to use cap space potentially next year. They're looking at about $32 million or so in space, but by my calculations, and the cap hold for Olynyk is, oh wait, actually I screwed that up. That doesn't include his cap hold. His cap hold is $7.7 million. So the Celtics are looking at about $24 million in space with that cap hold. But I mean, is there any offer that you're willing to make, Celtics? It's got to, I mean, unless you're like getting to starter money, I don't think we have a conversation right now.
Yeah, the other 2 points of reality for us of why we're not going to get to starter money is, one, we, you know, your role is going to be reduced now that we have Al Horford, and ask Tyler Zeller how it goes if we bring in somebody better than you and you can get buried a little bit going into your contract year. Probably not going to work out for you. And two, we think you could have potential in a trade. We're always looking to trade, and we're leery of making it more complicated by bringing the poison pill provision into it if you're, you know, with your new salary and trying to average that out and incoming and outgoing being different numbers. So we're inclined to wait and see how it would play out in free agency next year, unless you were willing to take way less, something around your cap hold, that $7.7 million. So yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I think like if I were him, I would be asking for like 16 a year or something. So all right, yeah, no deal there, but you know, maybe there's one to be made later. Number 14.
Shabazz Muhammad. Tom Thibodeau and the Minnesota Timberwolves are intrigued by Muhammad. I mean, it is a new coaching staff, so this isn't a situation like Victor Oladipo where it's a new player and new team. It's a situation of same player, new staff. And at the outset, our concern is that we don't know exactly how you fit into our team. We have sky-high expectations. We actually have the possibility of using serious cap space next summer when we think that we will be this rising star team. And while the Greg Monroe contract didn't work out for Minnesota, for Milwaukee, getting a max caliber player to a smaller market is something we believe we can do. And that is something that really kind of strengthens our resolve in terms of this. So we are willing to make you an offer. Your cap hold is $7.6 million. We're thinking something around 3 years, $18 million is a fair number to mitigate the risk. You are a talented player, but you were also rough defensively your entire NBA career. So what do you think? So that would start around $5.5 million, but 3 years, 18 is the total.
If you could give me, I mean, again, I've done more than like Jeremy Lamb did in his period. I think he's kind of the model contract for these guys who have some potential, can score, but maybe haven't broken in yet. If we could do a 2+1 at $8 million a year, I think I would be willing to consider that seriously, but certainly nothing less than that. And at least that enables me to get some security, pretty close to life-changing money, but then could get back on the market again pretty quickly. I mean, I got to retain that upside because I think I'm a scorer off the bench. I think I'm an awesome player. I was, you know, national player of the year as a high school senior.
Yeah, and when you were older than every single other person.
Nonetheless. So what do you think? A 2+1 for a $24 million total. Could you do that?
So we were at 18, you were at 24. How about we meet in the middle and we'll give you a 5% trade bonus on top. So that would be 3 years, $21 million, but that third year will be a player option.
Nah, I mean that Jeremy Lamb contract, I'm better than him. It's got to be more than him, especially since the cap is going up again this year. I can't go back to my client and say, hey, you got the same as Jeremy Lamb.
How about we do that same thing, but we can put on a little bit of protection for us in that third year. It is a player option, but if you don't hit certain performance thresholds, it only becomes half guaranteed, just in case.
Nah, it's still gotta be the 2+1. I mean, this is just
no, that still would be a 2+1. It was just that last year would not be fully guaranteed if you didn't play in.
Yeah,
you
know, but there's no way to do that though unless we made each year non-guaranteed, because the option year has to be same guarantee date as the previous year.
Our creative accounting will not work in this case. So that is pretty much at your cap hold. We would still, by my numbers, we would still be able to squeeze out max space depending on how this works out. Yeah, we could do that.
All right, Shahbaz Muhammad, 2+1 for $24 million in total. I will say I think there's no way that that actually would get done in real life, though.
He would ask for more money.
Yeah, I think he would. And also just the team, Tibbs, like it just doesn't seem, he doesn't seem like a Tibbs type of guy. I think I would be very surprised if they did that. I mean, maybe if he came in and he had like some awesome camp or something and they really liked him and he looked like he'd turn over a new leaf. But I mean, what do you think, Dan? You agree with me on that?
Yeah, I think he might ask for more, but I don't see the Wizards the Timberwolves committing to him like that yet.
I think they could actually trade him at that number. Personally, I think they could do a Jrue Holiday at that number.
Well, why don't we do? Let's do Gorgui Dieng now too. Actually, because we probably actually should have done him first. I like the way that you did it, Dan. We should have thought of that beforehand. But yeah, Gorgui Dieng, cap hold $5.9 million. The Wolves, even with Muhammad coming back, they're looking at probably about $31 million in space before bringing back Dieng. I mean, that's the other reason that this probably wouldn't happen with Muhammad, because they would think, hey, we're probably more likely than not to just let this guy go. But nonetheless, that's a fair deal. If they really had some awesome deal, they could probably trade him at that number. But so Dieng, I mean, what's a good offer for him?
We're in a challenging situation with Gorgui because he is a really good player, but we already have signed a talented backup center at a very reasonable price in hometown favorite Cole Aldrich, and we feel that Dieng is more of a center than a power forward. And if we give him starter or even close to starter money,
Tom Thibodeau thinks that he's more of a center than a power forward. The guy who will never not play two bigs together at the same time.
Tom spent some time with the Warriors and a lot of other talented staffs, and he is learning that while his system can be great, the Wolves can look even higher. There's a possibility of a player like Serge Ibaka who can thread that needle. There are things that they can do, and so the problem for Minnesota with Dieng, and this is different than Shahbaz Muhammad, is that he has a very low cap hold and a very workable salary, and we already have a potential replacement. So
yeah, I can cut you out too. I mean, I think we basically, it's unlikely we're going to get there, because I would want, you know, well over, you know,
$13 million a year, right?
Yeah, my initial request would be for like $20 million, probably.
Yeah, you know, that's not going to happen.
I'm a rim protector, at least in my mind and by appearance, if not by the actual rim protection numbers. And, you know, so that's basically, if you sign me, you're costing yourself minimum $10 million in cap space. You don't have max space anymore, whether you sign Muhammad or not. So I think there's probably no way for this to get done. Do you think that's right?
The way this would happen is if they traded him early, but I don't think they're going to do that. Like the new team would extend him.
Yeah, you agreed. What do you think of those last two, Dan, the Muhammad and Dieng?
Yeah, I agree with both you guys on both that. For Muhammad, I don't necessarily think it's a terrible number, but I'd be hesitant to think the Timberwolves would jump into it like that. And with Dieng, yeah, just the same idea that it's going to be hard to find something workable without seeing him a year in Tibbs' system first. And even then, it might not be the best fit.
Yeah, I mean, with Muhammad too, it's like he's got that cap hold. If he has some awesome year and blows up, you can always just match an offer after you use your free agency space and bring him back. You can exceed the cap to do that. And I mean, the downside of just getting stuck with that, basically, I mean, he could probably start at a little bit less than his cap hold. I think he probably started at like $7 million or so. But even just like having that on the books rather than the flexibility when you could just be this awesome team that could do a lot better than him in free agency, you know, I feel like from their perspective it doesn't get done. And then Muhammad, hard to see him taking less than eight figures either, even though that's probably like I have a lower opinion of Muhammad as his agent than he and his agent probably do in real life, I guess is the way to put that.
Yeah, I guess the logic for me on that was that at a number like what we agreed to, I could imagine him going to a team like the Nets or somebody like that and actually really helping them, and that's a price where it's not really sticker shock. But if it was any higher than that was actually about where my limit was, so I can understand that.
Yeah, I mean, and for me as Muhammad, I was like, hey, I could potentially just be totally out of the rotation this year. So if I can get $24 million guaranteed and still be able to get back onto the market for a big payday if I blow up in 3 years, like that seemed worth it to me. But all right, Giannis, we already did. Number 16 was Bebe. He didn't actually come to the league until the next year, so he's not eligible. Another really interesting one, Dennis Schroeder with the Atlanta Hawks, now the de facto starting point guard. I think I'm going to ask for $20 million a year as a over 4 years as a starting point here.
Dennis, we did what you wanted. We traded Jeff Teague. We know you want to start. We're looking out for you. So we're going to ask you to return the favor and take a little less money. You get the big role you wanted. So we could do 4 years, $60 million.
Yeah, you know, still pretty young here. Starting point guard. If you look at kind of what players who are similar to me got it in free agency, guys, you know, I think I'm sort of at the same point as like a Drew Holiday was. And this was, remember, before he became an all-star back then. You know, so he got $11 million a year. And now that the cap is really almost double what it was then. So, you know, I might be willing to go down to like $18 million a year or so. Or if you want to give me that player option, I'm pretty young still. I might be willing to go down to $7 million.
Well, we might be in the same range without that player option. I mean, the comparison I would make to keep it on level terms with guys who've just signed extensions, Cody Zeller just got 4 years, $64 million, and he's already proven he's a good starter, a solid starter.
Oh, dude, I'm so much better than Cody Zeller. Are you kidding me?
Well, you haven't proven it yet as a starter in the way he has.
Well, I've apparently proven it to you because you're making me the starter this year.
We're willing to bet on you. You haven't proven it. We believe in you, and we're willing to bet on you. Here's our best offer, and otherwise we'd rather just have your cap hole, and we can have some cap space and we can revisit this. This is our final best offer: 4 years, $66 million, no option.
Yeah, if I were a Schroeder, I would actually seriously consider taking that, but I'm going to try to be a little bit more realistic than I have been so far, and I don't think he does take that. And I mean, yeah, with that $6.8 million cap hold for him, even with that on the books, the Hawks could have as much as $40 million in space, and so punting on that to lock him up, I understand why it's got to be a really good discount for you guys. And I think I was surprised actually that you offered that much, but I still probably wouldn't take it. So I think we do not have a deal here, unfortunately.
Okay. We wish it could have worked out, but we look forward to re-signing you in restricted free agency.
All right. Number 18, Shane Larkin with the Mavs, then was traded to the Knicks, had his rookie option declined. He's now playing in Spain, I believe, this year. Maybe Turkey. I can't remember, actually. Sergei Karasev traded to the Nets. He looks like he's going to be out of the league as well. He had his option declined. Tony Snell with the Bulls. We got any traction here? Are you going to make me an offer, Bulls?
New phone. Who dis?
I wasn't aware that I had texted you, but and that I apparently have a phone that also automatically gives a voice reading of my text inbox. But okay, no offer at all for Tony Snell. Probably understandable. I actually think Snell is a little bit better than people give him credit for, but he was out of the rotation last year. Couldn't get past Justin Holiday. I pretty much understand that.
Can I express my outrage that I made an offer to Ben McLemore and he did not make an offer to Tony Snell?
Two different organizations.
That's true.
Mason Plumlee, number 22 pick, now with the Portland Trailblazers. You guys are capped out forever and ever, for eternity, forever. And I have a pretty small cap hold, so that doesn't really matter. And I'm still the best center that you have on the roster, so I think I would like to get paid.
We certainly value you as a player. You were an important part of our successful season and, of course, notable playoff run, making it to the second round. However, the idea for you is we understand that you want to get paid, and we assume that you will get paid at some point in the future, whether that is this year or next year, but we're not completely sure how you fit into our future. So we are willing to discuss numbers with you, but we want to make sure that you know that we are not going to go over the moon yet, because we still want to see how additions like Festus Ezeli works. Myers Leonard had kind of a lost season due to injury. So we know your brother got 4 years, $52 million. We thought a fair discussion would be 4 years and $62
million. You know, I think I am a starter quality player. I did start for you guys last year. It was good when I played for the Nets earlier. I think that you guys had trouble with trapping defenses. I'm really the only center on the roster who can catch the ball and make a play, or at least the only guy on the roster who is center sized who actually played at center last year and can catch the ball and make a play. If you get me to $70 million, we got a deal.
$70 million is a lot to commit to now. How about 65?
Done. So that would make Portland's tax payment just oh, about a cool $44.6 million or so next year, assuming that they decline Shabazz Napier's option and they let Festus Ezeli go. I'm ecstatic to get that as Plumlee. You know that I don't think he's that good, but what do you think of that, Dan? I mean, that's probably, I feel like that's about where these discussions would end up. But again, with the center market, the fact that he could very easily lose playing time this year, I'm ecstatic about that if I'm Plumlee and his agent.
Well, I think he'd be ecstatic in one major way. He gets $1 million of bragging rights over his brother.
No, more than that. It was four for 64, right?
Yeah, so it's $12 million more total.
Yeah.
What did Plumlee get?
$452 million.
Yeah.
$452 million. I misheard.
Yeah, $452 million for Miles, $464 million.
No, Mason. I was talking about Cody.
Oh, so, they're not brothers.
Oh man,
they really should be though, right? Like the Plumlees and the Zellers are the Zellies.
Oh man,
the Zellies.
I'd like to announce. I'd just like to make it clear to everybody listening that's much later here in the Eastern time zone than where they're recording.
That might actually be like the most. God, you are just such a little stereotyper, Felfin.
But yeah, so I actually
who is the best tan out of those four guys? That's the real bragging rights.
Myers Leonard.
Jesus Christ. I consider him different. Like, I actually, one of the things that when I was trying to work out a number for Mason was valuing him against Cody Zeller. And I mean, my opinion on it was that I think Plumlee was better last year.
Yeah, I actually like Zeller better personally. And he's also way younger. I mean, Plumlee is going to be 27 next summer. True. So that's, but yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that seems like about kind of where the money is going for these centers. Myers Leonard is definitely like the black sheep, like stepbrother though. Cause like, you know, the Plumlees and the Zellers, they try hard. They run the floor so hard.
Rebounding.
They play intelligently. They went to programs like Duke and North Carolina and Indiana, you know, Illinois. Myers Leonard, come on.
But he does have the best tan. That counts for something.
He also has the best hair.
Best tan among that group is certainly damning with faint praise. Indeed.
Mason, I thought that was a pretty fair number. I was just going to say, I think he has some possibility to argue for more. And this is a point you brought up, is just how good a fit he is with Lillard and McCollum when teams trap his passing ability. I think because of that, because he's such a good fit with the core they've locked into, maybe there's room for him to extract a little more, although I think the number you guys got to was fairly fair.
Yeah, I'm laughing all the way to the bank because, I mean, they have Davis, they have Ezeli, who may not be healthy, but if he is, he could even be a better option than Plumlee. Myers Leonard as well. They have all these other options that they, if they let him go. And also, I think just he's not really a rim protector. And so with the center market, again, not being that great, I think it's quite possible that he could languish in restricted free agency. But they also kind of box themselves in by giving that 4 for 41 to Myers Leonard. Plumlee clearly would demand significantly more than that. I think that's a realistic number, but I also think that is like an overpay and would not be a good contract, especially considering his age. Okay, let's move on here. Solomon Hill option declined. Tim Hardaway with the Atlanta Hawks. They invested the number 19 pick a couple of years ago to trade for him. What do you got for me, Hawks? My cap hold, not that big, $5.7 million. I understand you also are trying to use cap space, but you know, since I haven't quite established myself yet, maybe there might be something we could work with here.
So that cap hold's a real clear line for us now, especially after not extending Schroeder. So there is no way we will give you a starting salary above your cap hold. Is it still worth talking out something below it?
No, it's not. I don't think so. I mean, again, you run into like that Jeremy Lamb. I think that's something that a lot of these kind of wing guys who are not that well developed, they're going to be pointing to that. Agents are going to be pointing to that as the market. And you know, Jeremy Lamb got traded for free essentially by Charlotte last year. Whereas with the investment that the Hawks made to acquire Hardaway, I think it's be difficult to say. I mean, if you really, I would probably might, and like Terrence Ross is another good company. And those are the two for these wing guys that you're going to look at. Neither of those are looking great. great, by the way, but they did get those. So, 9, 10
I'm
million
glad you added that last point.
Yeah, 9, 10 million a year or so, I think it would be very difficult. I mean, that's how agents think a lot of the times in terms of comps, too. So I don't think we would have anything to talk about realistically unless, we're talking about 9 million a year or so.
Yeah, no thanks.
Number 25, Reggie Bullock. Stan Van Gundy, you made some very nice comments about maybe potentially extending me. What are you willing to offer? Again, you guys are capped out. You came up with that that KCP contract, so now you're really, really capped out, so no opportunity costs in using my cap hold. I haven't made that much in my career. I haven't established myself. I think I can get a lot better, though. You guys really need a backup shooting guard, and I'm only going to be 26, so right in my prime. You guys could maybe get me for my prime years here. What are you willing to offer, Pistons?
Well, we do have luxury tax concerns. We're not, yes, we're willing to talk contract extension with you, just like we're willing to talk about putting you in our rotation. It's not a lot to happen. But, we are always willing to eat a contract, and maybe there's some upside here. So we would look at doing something like 4 years, $8 million, with limited guarantees in those last couple years.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done at all. I mean, it would have to be at a minimum $5 million a year, and I'm thinking like 3 years, $15 million, third year player option.
Yeah, I don't even think we're in the same ballpark.
Andre Roberson, number 26 with the Oklahoma City Thunder. You have signed Oladipo. Steven Adams is, should we go back and talk to Oladipo and see if he's just willing to wait? I guess the thing is, though, there's no willing to wait with that contract. Like, it's got to be the max if you're willing to wait. So never mind on that. So Roberson, kind of could go either way.
With Oladipo, it doesn't really matter because it's also so close to his cap hold that the functional difference isn't very big.
Right. Yeah, it'd been an hour and a half ago, so I forgot exactly how we arrived at that. But yeah, so Roberson, where's he at with his cap hold?
So his cap hold is a little bit less than $5.5 million, so it's low. And with Andre, the challenge for us is that we like you, but we don't know exactly how you fit into this new system. And you are a talented player. We just added Victor Oladipo, though we shed Deion Waiters. And we think that you are a piece of our future, but we don't know exactly how big a piece.
I've been starting for you guys for 2 years already, right?
You have been, but this is a very different Oklahoma City team. I'm pretty sure you noticed.
That has a lot less good small forwards on the roster than they used to.
But this is also a team that needs shooting and that will have cap space, or that will have flexibility for the first time. We don't know exactly how a roster is going to be composed. So we think it would be fair to give you an offer that is more like a rotation player at this point. We were thinking 4 years, $35 million. That is an increase substantially off of your cap hold. That is life-changing money for you. But we understand that if you think of yourself as a starter and want to do that, we have match rights on you. We will intend to use those if you get a fair offer.
Yeah, I think that we don't have it here. I mean, I might be able to take, starter money is probably $16 million a year or so, $16.5 million a year or so in my view. And I might be able to take a slight discount off of that just because I have those offensive limitations. And, there's also the injury and performance risk. I might have been willing to go into like $13 million a year range. And I think that certainly is an offer that would be forthcoming on the market, especially if I can actually start to hit some three pointers, or if maybe I play a little bit more as a small ball four this year. If you're not willing to go up to that level, then we don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, we would be willing to think maybe in the 4 years, $45 million range, but that is, again, that doesn't seem like it's to your liking.
Yeah. I don't think that's quite enough. I mean, how much of that is the concern about the cap hold, and how much of that is just not thinking that he's that good?
It isn't as much about not thinking he's good as much as it is uncertainty, because it's where he fits in with this whole system. And with Roberson, you have this risk of, being some sort of an albatross contract, because while he is a talented player, there are constructions of this Oklahoma City team. Like, let's say he's best as a small ball four, where you just don't really need that. And that he is a good player, but doesn't fit perfectly. So it's not as much about identification as much as it is about just risk management, I guess.
Yeah, and there are also tax concerns too. If you're going to bring, you got Oladipo and Adams. I mean, he's definitely third on the totem pole among those guys. So what do you think, Dan? What do you think would, just in a vacuum, what would it be like a fair extension for Roberson?
Ooh, well, so it's hard to say because for all the reasons you said, I don't think one is likely. Fair.
Like, if you were his agent, what would you take?
I mean, I'd be looking for, like you said, starter money, but I'd be willing to come down a decent amount. Like, it's funny you say, well, we'll really take a little less because he's just no good offensively. Like, that's not a small thing. As his agent, I think you are right in the ballpark of what's reasonable to ask. Is what's fair, it's a pretty decent amount below that. I don't know, 12, 13 million, maybe something like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you were on some bad team, you know, if you were like on Phoenix or something, or you know, some team that didn't really have big plans in free agency next year, and these other guys, I mean, it's a weird situation to be having have three extension negotiations at the same time like this. I don't remember if that's ever happened, but especially among guys who are actually all, you know, started, those guys might all start on this team. So I can't remember where they've ever had the chance where you have three starters that are all looking for rookie extensions. Extensions at the same time. So that's it's a difficult situation to navigate for Sam Presti, and we were not able to navigate it here. Rudy Gobert, number 27 pick. Where's number 27? And I just want a max contract, fifth year player option, full boat.
Are you willing to wait? Because the issue for us as the Jazz is that we have an incredible situation where we don't know exactly what's going to happen with your pal Gordon Hayward. We don't know exactly where that's going to go. We also don't know what's going to happen with your front court mate Derek Favors, who is eligible for a renegotiation extension. We could use some of our cap space this year to do that.
Yeah, but or even next year before
We sign. So what we are willing to listen to that sort of an offer. We love you. We think that you will be an important part of our future, but we cannot agree to that now. So we are willing to, if you want to secure your future, we can give you a pay cut. We don't even want to say that number until you say that that's what you want. But if you are willing to wait, that is the sort of offer we will consider.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not actually coming to an agreement then for next year.
No, we would not be coming to an agreement, but what we would be willing to do, CJ McCollum just agreed to a deal that is at the current maximum, the 25%. You are not going to be eligible for 30% with the Rose Rule. Who knows where it goes? But if you are to go to that level, then we would be willing to do that for 5 years.
Yeah, I think we can agree on that. You know, I love it in Utah. Obviously, I was the number 27 pick. Getting to that level would be outstanding, and I think clearly there would be max offers for me out there with, again, the lack of rim protectors and so many teams that need mobile rim protecting rebounding centers. So yeah, I mean I think I would be willing to agree to just, so that would be a 5 year, $138 million, and I get the player option on the fifth year.
We were doing this as a straight offer, but that was our intention.
Yeah, that's fair. I think,
yeah, he's at a very good player, but not at the same level of being like kind of a go-to guy in that sense.
Yeah, all right, that's not bad. I think that's fairly realistic. I would be surprised in real life if they came to an extension, just because his cap hold is probably going to be about $20 million less than his actual salary, so they could manufacture up to $20 million in space. They may not actually use all of that, but it's worth it. Dan, you see things any differently, or you agree on that?
No, agree on all fronts, unless I'm forgetting somebody was drafted lower last year, or I guess that'd be the only year, and even then it wouldn't be enough. I mean, this will be the largest difference between a cap hold and a starting salary in NBA history. It just doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't have even blamed Gobert if he had argued for, hey, unless you give me the player option and the true max, not the set dollar amount, especially, and here's the other complication that just came to mind. Okay, if he signs for the set dollar amount of what it appeared to be today, is that finally going to be the thing that opens the NBA to saying, hey, no, this is an illegal agreement? Like, you clearly came up with this in September when there was this different cap estimate.
Well, I mean, maybe we just discuss the parameters. I mean, there's no, the NBA, is as long as there's nothing in writing, I don't think that it's ever going to be something that's going to come up. And you can always, I mean, you're not like sealing it in blood. There's always plausible deniability that we like actually agreed.
Dan, yeah. I think what would be the one that would seal it is if a player got hurt and signed for over their market value. Like, well, I think that's the way that it would really go crazy.
Yeah,
that too. But it'd just be such a fishy thing for it to, because by next summer, the number we think the max is going to be today, it will not be the max. Like, yeah, we can be pretty sure of that. We just don't know exactly.
Yeah. What. Well, and they, you know, they might, if it's a difference, they could round like it 2 out. Million or yeah, whatever it is. I mean, it's, I don't think it would be too difficult. I it wouldn't be a big concern. Yeah, I guess we'll put it that way.
But to the bigger point, I just do think maybe Gobert could have pushed for the true max instead of the protection for Utah for that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with him, just because offensively, I thought that he did not improve as much as you would have hoped last year. He did have that injury still, you know, in the Olympics, even didn't look like offensively. I mean, he's looking like he could be an offensive liability, and he's getting up there enough now to where, you know, because he was so good 2 years ago, didn't really get any better last year, and at least statistically. And then, so, you know, if he's just kind of stagnates at that same level, I mean, how much are we pricing in the idea that he's going to get better into the idea that he's a max player? Or are you just feel like he's a max player even if he just is the exact same guy that's been these last 2 years?
I think he's pretty close, but I am factoring in some projection of him improving.
I mean, he's a top five 24. Defensive player in the league. Like, that, you're just going to get paid that way, I think.
Yeah, just, and you know, the specific flexibility with Utah is also really valuable, just because we don't know exactly what they're going to do, but they have this ability. I've been drooling over it for like 2.5 years now, so hopefully they can do something with it.
Yeah, although, you know, Rudy didn't even close games. Like, he didn't close games so they could put in Trevor Booker last year. I thought that was moronic, but that was the case, you know. So it's, maybe they don't quite see him that way, but you know, and he's also a very proud player, works hard, wants to be great,
someone will give him the 3+1 though, so even if whatever, and Utah would match it, so I mean, that is kind of the other factor in this.
Yeah, and you know what, they also learned their lesson maybe with Gordon Hayward,
right,
as well, that they need to just make the offer.
Well, what would be amazing is if Philly is the one who makes that 3+1 offer.
Yeah, I don't see that happening with their 8 billion centers. But, you know, people are like, oh, they have this huge logjam. You know, Embiid could get hurt again at any time. You know, I'm not treating him as a sure thing until he makes it through at least one full season and looks really good before I'm going to count him as part of Philly's future. So, Archie Goodwin, is that who's next?
Yeah, because Livio Jean-Charles is not in this group.
Yeah, and Nemanja Nedović already out of the league as number 30.
Wait, can I make one small comment on that with Nedović?
Is that... Yes.
As much as we talk about how charmed the Warriors are, the Warriors could have drafted Rudy Gobert.
They had number 26. I was going nuts that they didn't draft him, actually, at the
time. Yeah, there is a radio appearance when I was on local radio talking about how they should have drafted him, and incidentally, how they should have signed Matthew Dellavedova as an unrestricted free agent, or an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, well, you and I can both toot our own horns on Gobert, and we'll forget about all the other guys that we've been completely wrong about.
That is how we do it.
So Archie Goodwin, I guess he's another of these Jeremy Lamb type of guys in a way.
Yeah, except that he hasn't been as good as Jeremy Lamb was. I mean, he was, in terms of RPM, he was the worst shooting guard in the league last year. And
it was good of you to look that up.
Yeah, even though RPM is not rankings, it is important to note. And he was the worst defensive shooting guard, and he was in the bottom 10 offensively. And so the problem for him, it's in some ways more like Tony Snell, who, I mean, Goodwin actually more deserves a new phone who this, is that I just don't know what the number would be. We had this issue last year with Dion Waiters. And so, yeah, sure, if you want to make an offer, I'll offer the kind of Kendall Marshall style contract of, you know, $2.5 million with non-guarantees in future years. But other than that, there isn't really a place to come to a number.
Yeah, there isn't. I mean, and it's too bad. I think that Goodwin, he has the skill of being able to get to the basket. He was incredibly young when he was drafted.
Hasn't, he's 22.
Really, yeah, hasn't really had a chance to play that much. Still can get to the basket. Like, that is an NBA skill that he has, and at his size can handle the ball reasonably well. But he also shot 23% on threes last year, and you know, I think he actually has some defensive potential too. It's so raw. It's one of the, and he's probably not going to get to play at all this year either, but he's a guy that I might actually, if you were, this is a bit of an aside, but if you were Phoenix, like, what would someone have to offer you in a trade for him?
A solid second would be fine, like top 10 second.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, you think that's too much to give up for him at this point?
Yeah, I would probably take a mid second.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, it's The thing is, even if he could be good, they have basically Booker and Knight and Bledsoe, and now that he just is going to play, the most he could ever play is like 5-10 minutes a game. So it's like, he's not going to be able to establish himself. You're not going to know what you have with him. And so even if you think he could be better than that someday, just to get something for him, and then in restricted free agency, maybe he doesn't get a deal, maybe you don't even give him a qualifying offer, he just leaves, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty difficult to imagine that an extension occurs.
I'll make one note on him, that he is somebody, like, there are a few other guys like Taylor Ennis, I think, could be an example of this, where it would just be so much better to see them on a different team. You know, I understand why that won't happen because the Suns drafted him, everything else, but to get that opportunity to actually play, I mean, the Sixers would be an amazing example.
Yeah,
just
well,
to see what he
Taylor Ennis, though, he had his chance to actually play last year and he was bad. You know, it's not like they brought in other point guards because they believed that he couldn't do the job. So I understand your point. It would be nice to, but I mean, what is the team that he, as bad as he was last year, is even going to get playing time on at this point?
Sixers.
Yeah, probably not even them this year at this point, at that point, I think, but maybe.
If the Lakers clear out their, you know, if they let Nick Young go and eventually trade Lou Williams, they could have some minutes.
All right, we should probably talk about what our impressions were of this in a minute, but first let's just run through what everyone got. Victor Oladipo, 3+1 with the Thunder for $80 million. Otto Porter, 3+1 for $68 million. He took a little bit of a dip in 2018 to help out some potential Wizards cap space. Cody Zeller, 4 for $64 from the Hornets. Thought that was a pretty good deal. Alex Len, not able to reach an agreement with stingy Suns GM Danny LaRue. Nerlens Noel, same thing, just with all the uncertainty in Philly, we weren't able to really get there. Ben McLemore was looking for close to 8 figures. Kings weren't willing to do that. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 4 for $90, 7% trade kicker. Trey Burke, no deal. Michael Carter-Williams, no deal after Giannis Antetokounmpo agreed to wait to get his 4+1 for the pure max, which is supposed to be about $138 million, but will be determined officially at that time. Steven Adams, 5 for $130, 10% trade bonus, agreed to in sort of principle, semi-illegally, but we're waiting until next summer to actually sign the deal so they can utilize his small cap hold. Kelly Olynyk, the Celtics want to use cap space, so there wasn't really a deal to be made there. Shabazz Muhammad, really the only guy who kind of got the Jeremy Lamb type of extension. There are a lot of guys who sort of fell into that category, but Shabazz with a 2+1 for $24 million. I don't think that deal would actually happen in real life, but kind of made sense for us at the time. Dennis Schroeder wasn't able to agree to enough of a discount to prevent the Hawks from wanting to go into free agency with him as a restricted free agent and use his small cap hold. Gorgui Dieng, same thing, basically with the Wolves potentially wanting to use cap space next year. Anything that he would sign was so much bigger than his cap hold, it just didn't make sense. Mason Plumlee, since Portland was capped out, 4 for $65 with them. Tim Hardaway Jr., same thing. They weren't willing to offer enough over his cap hold that it was worth it for him. Reggie Bullock didn't really get much of an offer from the Pistons. Robertson ran into some of the same issues with Oklahoma City, with them potentially trying to use cap space. Oladipo was able to get done because they only chewed up about $5 million above his cap hold, which was way higher. But Robertson and Adams, they couldn't do that. Rudy Gobert, also a super low cap hold, but he basically agreed to a full max deal for what the projected max is now, the same thing that CJ McCollum did, but his was for 5 years. So they're going to wait to actually sign that, an agreement in principle, shall we say, for that time. And what he gave back basically was to not take the full max, but just what the max is projected to be now. So 5 years, 138. And then Archie Goodwin was not able to reach a deal. All right. Any thoughts you guys had here, on this overall process before we say goodbye?
I'm going to make a prediction that on the players that sign extensions, who we came with to deals with, that the players are going to get less money. I think that's something I learned last year when we did this. It seemed like we were in a pretty fair range. But I just think individual players, when you're not caught up in it like we are negotiating for everybody, they just put a little bit more value on the security of hey, it's a lot of money. It's the first big contract. It's all guaranteed. And so I think that pushes player salaries a little lower than our process does.
Yeah, you might be right about that. I mean, Valanciunas and Kidd Gilchrist actually had happened before we recorded last year, but I was surprised at how low that was. I was shocked by how low Valanciunas was. Is there anyone else that you thought was really low last year? There weren't that many last year, as I recall.
Yeah, I also think we're going to have more deals than happen in reality for the same reason, because we're inclined to talk about and make a deal. I can't remember any others that shocked me as low, although I'm having trouble remembering any others besides those and Jeremy Lamb.
Yeah, that's true. Most of the ones that just didn't happen last year, right? It was the Warriors guys didn't go.
I guess the two big ones maybe we're forgetting because they were so early are Anthony Davis and Damian Lillard.
Well, I guess the other one is John Henson. Like, Henson was a notable deal.
That was probably, that one seemed about right at the time, I think. I think we were pretty close to that range when we did our podcast last year. So, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it could just be. And remember also, Valanciunas and Keith Gilchrist both got those player options. Like, that's why it ended up being so low, I think, for those guys.
Something also to watch in this class that will be notable is, first of all, you have the group that just have high cap holds and their teams are limited. So Cody Zeller and Plumlee, you know, guys in that, those are a little bit different, but they're similar in the sense that the teams don't have a lot of flexibility. But the other one is more along the lines of a Jeremy Lamb, where it's a player where even mid-level exception type money is really significant and they have some risk. Muhammad is a really good example of this, where he can get that money, even maybe Ben McLemore, where they don't know where their stock is. So maybe even though their agent might be telling them to hold out for a little bit more, they might go, hey man, if I can get $15 million, if I can get $20 million locked up, I'm set for life. And so there's a possibility we'll see a couple of those deals that might be surprising.
It's hard for me to imagine that there will be any extension that is for less than $20 million total guaranteed. That would really, really surprise me.
There should be more of that. I mean, there rarely are those type of extensions. That's why in every example you brought up Jeremy Lamb.
But remember, I mean, all these guys, like, you know, Shabazz Muhammad and even Reggie Bullock, like, all those guys are like, yeah, the reason that my market isn't there is because, like, you're not playing me and I want to get out of here to go somewhere where I can play and I'm worth way more than this. Like, most of those guys are still in that mode when you're 3 years into your career and you haven't played that much.
Well, and how you interpret the feast or famine nature of restricted free agency. I mean, Alan Crabb got crazy over market because the Nets really needed somebody like him, and Dion Waiters, I don't think the difference between them is that huge, and he got, you know, the room mid-level with the Heat. So if some of them see that and are risk averse, which is what I'm talking about, then they could make a deal. But they could also get stars in their eyes and say, oh, even though there's less money on the market now than there was last year, somebody will love me.
By the same token, I think one thing that we could run into in real life that we didn't have is, you know, we'd look at a team like the Hornets or the Wizards and say they don't project to have cap room, so let's go for it and make an extension. I wonder how many of those teams have stars in their eyes that they can make a move to clear cap room and sign some free agent who's going to change their fortunes.
I don't think that many of them.
Oh, I don't know.
But I think overall in the league, though, there are plenty of teams that are capped out, whereas, as we've said many times, 27 of the 30 teams last year actually used cap space. And so I think that depressed a lot of the reason that we didn't see many market level deals last year in particular was because so many teams were going to have cap space. And so it was only the teams that really felt like they were getting a steal and buying it with player options, in the case of Valanciunas and Kid Gilchrist, that we saw those deals. Now this year you have more teams that are like, all right, you know, we'll play pretty close to what we think your market value would be because there's not as much opportunity. So I think we will see more deals this year than we did last year. And also because I think that for the players, you know, I guess it could go both ways. Like for the players, there's less money out there this year, but then they also just saw what everyone had got last year. And maybe people just aren't going to realize that there's going to be less money out there this year, even with the cap going up another $8 million or so.
And then of course, there's the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah,
that could certainly drive fear on either side in any direction.
This is a question for you guys. We kind of ran into this a couple of times, and I had this idea of, all right, I'll take $17 million a year or $15 million a year with the player option. You know, on a four-year deal, like, what do you think a player option is worth to a team? Like, how much money does a player have to sacrifice on a yearly basis to buy himself a player option in your...
So I'll tell you what piece of information I have not thought about too deeply in that regard that really nails down the exact number. What is the cap going to be in that fourth year? And you know, maybe agents and teams have more insight into how the collective bargaining agreement and how the TV contract escalates and changes.
Yeah, and it also depends to what age the guy is. If the guy is 26 right now, maybe all right, you know, and he's kind of, you know, a lower end starter, high end backup kind of guy, then hey, sure, if you want to get a player option, fine. If you're 29, go out in the market. We probably, you know, it's not the end of the world. If you're 23 right now, I want to lock you up for as long as I can. So that would really change it. I mean, there's probably like a more mathematical study of this answer, but I'm thinking, you know, $2 or $3 million a year or so is probably the price of that to buy your freedom if you're a player.
Two things. One, when we were talking about the biggest difference from cap hold to contract, I think Chandler Parsons is probably the leader right now. I mean, that was, of course, a different deal, but the guy, that was a huge gap. I think it was like,
no, he only got $15 million to start.
But that's 15. Is there anybody who's gotten bigger?
Yeah, Gobert's gonna be 20.
No, but I mean,
before, what are you saying to date?
Okay.
And then the second thing is the number that I was thinking you talked about in terms of millions is 20%. That might be a little bit high, but if I were a team, because what you have to think about in terms of that player option is that guy's gonna be an unrestricted free agent and will have, you know, you'll have full bird rights, which is wonderful, but they will have a lot of power at that point and they will be able to squeeze you. And so for me, I think I would ask for at least 20% cut.
Yeah, that seems fair. But yeah, I mean, there's just got to be a lot of, because I mean, if you want to bring the guy back at that point, then you all not only have to pay market rate for that 1 year that would have been the player option, but now you got to tack on some more years after that at probably an inflated rate as well. So I mean, I think it all really depends, like how much are you thinking that you're going to want to have the guy on your team for that fourth year, and then even maybe years beyond that for that player option and how much it's worth. But yeah, I'm not sure that's a good answer to that, but that was something that I thought of, and that's got to be something that comes up in negotiations a lot.
It's also really different in rookie extension negotiations versus other contracts. Like, I would be much more willing to give other players player options because, you know, there's a possibility that they'll make a mistake, kind of like you could argue that with Dwight Howard or a couple other guys. But with rookie extensions, those guys are going to be prime or near prime, so it's going to hurt if they hit when they hit free agency then, as long as they decline that option.
All right, you guys both have some things to plug, I think, before we go.
At Pro Basketball Talk, we're still doing our 51 question series that Nate loves so much that it's 51 questions. At Piston Power, or excuse me, oh man, Lit is getting even later here. At Locked On Pistons, we've got team cross match previews where we discuss what different teams are doing and how they match up and how they relate to each other. So with the Pistons going with several different teams in the Eastern Conference. And you can also find me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA.
When's that podcast that we recorded going to run, the second one? I already did one about that came out a couple of days ago. We still have one more, right?
We do. Nice little teaser for that. So there's going to be another Locked On series the next week on positions, Monday point guard, Tuesday shooting guard, all the way down. So it'll be the following week. Everybody can look forward to me and Nate talking some more.
And Danny, you have a major announcement to make.
Yeah, it's been a closely held secret for a little while, but I'm going to do Locked On Warriors, which is going to be a lot of fun and also a significant time commitment, considering Dunked On is still going to be going strong. Some people have been concerned about that, as long as Nate's willing to still have me. And I'll have new pieces beyond the daily Locked On Warriors podcast. I will have new pieces this week, hopefully for Sporting News and The Athletic. And then I also had a Chris Bosch piece come out for the Sporting News last week on what would happen if they had to use the injury exclusion, which we all hope they don't have to.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll be making more than a few appearances on Locked On Warriors myself. Yeah, Danny, I've been missing you. I'm glad we got to record this podcast because I've been doing team previews, which we will get back to after this. But it was fun having you guys on. Follow me on Twitter at NateDunganNBA. Don't forget about our sponsors for today, the Naked 3D Body Scanner, the world's first home body scanner, and also Blue Apron. You can get started with them. 3 free meals, blueapron.com/capspace. Talk to y'all soon.